November 6th, because we're going to have a parking party, you know what I mean, something like that. And I'm also, we have a few changes that we're making in the church. You know that Brandon is doing the youth group now. That has put Joel in a different position. Plus, we have some other things that we're doing this year, and I want to just really cast a vision of where we're headed this year, some of the changes, why we've made them, and where we're going with all of those things. So this November 6th, I want you to, I know it's not always easy to get here, but if at all possible you can be here for November 6th, I'm asking you to please be here. It's going to be very important as members or just attenders of this church. If you want to know where we're at and where we're going, let's try and all be here on November 6th. That'll be the first Sunday in November, and then we'll have the packing party afterwards. Right now, we've kind of been working on the Ten Commandments, working our way through it. We're right around halfway. I'm going to be looking at the Fifth Commandment today. What's kind of interesting with the Ten Commandments is the first four, a lot of you probably know, are about our relationship with God, and the next six are about our relationship with people, which makes sense because when they asked Jesus, what are the most important commandments? He said, well, you could basically narrow it down to this, love God and love people. And the Ten Commandments kind of do the same thing. The first four are about loving God, and the second six, the last six of those commandments are about loving people. So we're going to look at the fifth commandment today. This is where it all transitions from God to people, from God to neighbor. And so we're going to look at that, and it's about our parents specifically. It's about when it starts to challenge us on how we treat other people because we love God. How do we love people? It starts with family. And specifically, like I said, it starts with our parents, which is kind of interesting. Parents are the first people that we have any interaction with. And because they are many times the closest people to us, they also have the greatest possibility of being the ones that can inflict the most hurt, pain into us. And so maybe, perhaps, God started with parents when it comes to loving people because you know what? In some instances, depending on your experience, if you can love your parents, you could love anybody. Or if you could forgive your parents, you might just be able to forgive anybody. So that's what God starts with. As a matter of fact, I thought maybe I'd just do a little something to help us understand the emotional complexity of what we're up against about talking about this command this morning. Just close your eyes for a minute, all right? And in your mind's eye, I want you to think of your father, just a mental picture of your father, and then I want you to hear this. Honor your father. Now I want you to think of your mother in your mind's eye. Just think of your mom, picture your mom, and then hear this. Honor your mother. Now if you're a parent, think of your kids and ask yourself this. Do they honor me? Do they honor me? Okay, you can open your eyes. Now, when I said that, okay, for some of you, you may have smiled. It might have been easy. And of course, there's the thing where your parents may not be here, but to honor the memory of them may have been very easy for some of you. On the other hand, to honor your parents, it may have been outright devastating. And so this fifth commandment is got a lot of complexity to it. We're all coming from different areas, but you know what? It's right there in the top 10, and there's no exemption clauses. Exodus 20, verse 12, it says this, honor your father and your mother, and your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. It's very simple. It's all it is. There's no fine print. Yet it brings up all of these different complex emotions depending on a group, even in a group here this size. I'm sure there's all different kinds of scenarios that we can think of. And although this commandment was written for all ages, kind of interesting, I saw that a lot of commentaries said that they believe that it was primarily written for adult children of aging parents. It's kind of interesting also because it kind of challenges us today because we so much idolize youth and we kind of demonize almost old age and we idolize rebellion and all the things that we grew up with, you know, from the 60s on and all of that stuff and the culture we live in. I mean, it's like good luck trying to find a magazine, a television show, a movie, or even a band whose basic refrain is honor your mother and father. It's just not out there. It's not cool, you know? And so God, in the midst of all of this, with the rebellion and so forth, that we find ourselves in the midst of, God gives us this strong word, and it's still there, and it says, honor your mother and your father. So I'm going to just take a quick kind of three-pronged look at this. Nothing, you know, new or inventive. Just who, why, and how. So who? Who do we honor? Well, your mother and your father. That's not like new information. It's not like it's something you haven't heard before. The father's listed first. The father is looked at in the Bible as the head of the household. He's the leader of the family, and he bears particular responsibility in that department because of it, in the sight of God. So it's honor God and mother. Mothers alongside the father, it's sort of like the right hand and the left hand, they're working together to love and lead the family. And notice that it doesn't say honor your father or your mother. And I read also on that was kind of unusual in ancient times. It would often just talk about the father, like the father's the patriarch and you would honor the father. But here comes God, what God does, and he puts mom right on the same plane as dad when it comes to respect and honor. She's right there. There's no favoritism. You're to honor both. It's a real tragedy. Maybe some of us have even seen this or you could read it in the Bible, actually. It's a tragedy whenever a parent favors one kid over the other. I mean, when one parent favored one son, right? The other sons got so mad they took him and sold him into slavery. I mean, read the book of Genesis. It doesn't turn out good when parents favor one child over another. And you know what? The same thing's true when kids favor one parent over the other. It just ends up being chaos and discord. So that's who we honor. It's not father or mother, it's father and mother. And so why do we honor them? Well, what's interesting is the Apostle Paul quotes this commandment when he's writing to the early Christians at Ephesus in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. He quotes this very commandment and he says it this way. He goes, honor or obey your father and mother. And he says, for this is right. Wait a minute, you mean he's deciding what's right and wrong? Aren't we all supposed to decide for ourselves what's right and wrong? It's kind of interesting because that's actually a profound thing that Paul is saying. He says, you need to honor your mother and father because this is right. In other words, what he's getting at is something that we've kind of been saying all along, is that these commandments are not just rules to obey, but they represent a moral structure in the universe that God has set up. There's a moral paradigm, or like a moral order to things. There's a right and there's a wrong, and there's a God who has created us. And when we listen to his word, we come under his authority. He set up a particular moral structure, and part of that is an authority structure where mother and father are part of that whole thing. And as a matter of fact, if we ever are going to experience anything that's going to give liberty and beauty to life, we have to understand that there's a structure of authority. If you have a bunch of musicians and they come together, right, everybody just plays their own thing, it's kind of a disaster. But if they will come under the authority of a conductor, guess what? You just might have a symphony. You can have all these great athletes, but if you don't have a referee, and these guys and girls, whatever the case may be, say, you know what, I'm just going to play by my own rules. You're not going to have a game. But if you come under the authority of that referee or that umpire, you just might have a game. You come under the authority of a conductor, why, you just might make some beautiful music. And you may not like the referee, or you may not like the conductor or all the things that he or she does or the decisions that they make, but you have to give your respect to that person. There's got to be somebody up there. If there's, it's still better than if there's nobody at all. And it brings structure to things. And in this case, a moral structure. Anything, a music, sports, most things don't happen unless you put yourself under someone's authority. And the Bible says there's a moral order to life. And God is our creator, and he tells us what is right and wrong. And this first thing that he gives us here of the moral order, the first representative of this moral order in the universe is the parents. So that's one reason why we honor our parents. It's part of God's universal structure that he set up within humanity that brings authority and a chain of authority. And there's got to be a myriad of reasons, which we don't have time to get into this morning, but I'm going to give just one other one. Why? There's plenty of reasons why we honor them, but here's another one. Paul gives us this one also when he repeats this commandment in that first couple verses of the sixth chapter of Ephesians. He says this, it's the first commandment with a promise. Isn't that interesting? You go through the commandments. It just tells you honor God, you know, and worship God only. Don't have any other gods. But then it gets to this fifth commandment where it transitions from worshiping and honoring God. Now you're going to learn how that transitions into loving from God to loving other people. And the first one is about loving your parents, and it comes with a promise. So Paul says it's the first one that God attaches a promise to. And he says that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So point two, why do we honor our father and mother? It makes life better. The first commandment says that, again, there's a God that we need to worship and worship him only. But this one comes with some certain benefits, promise of benefits. Here's a general principle throughout the Bible. If you're looking how to make a decision about something, don't ask yourself this question, what's best for me? See, that's what everybody does. They want to make a decision, and they say and they ask themselves, what's best for me? The Bible doesn't say that. God hasn't structured the universe and the moral paradigm in which we live. It doesn't work best when you try and figure out what's going to be best for me, when all our motive is self-preservation, self-promotion, and self-interest, and that's our basis, that's the foundation upon which we make decisions, you know what? It ends up many times being what's worst for you. Because you're going by what you want rather than what God wants. So when you want to make a decision, don't ask what's best for me, ask this. What would glorify God? God, when I make a decision, help me to think about what would honor and bring obedience to God and glorify Him. That's the foundation upon which we want to make decisions. Why? Because God has set it all up so that it's holistic. It's a win-win situation. You do what's right before God, and for God, it's going to be what's right and best for you. That's what the commandments are there for. He knows how it all works best. How it all comes together. It's going to be a natural byproduct that it's going to be what's good for you. What's good for God is also good for us. It's as simple as that. How many want to live well and long? I mean, that doesn't take a lot of, you know, thinking it through, you know. I mean, that's what he says here. You want to live well, live long? Well, listen to my commandments. And this one is that you honor your parents. Now, it's not guaranteed that that's going to be what happens, but it's sort of like a proverbial promise, okay, like the Proverbs. There's wisdom that we abide by these principles, and they tend to bring along a certain lifestyle, and a certain direction. Let's just face it, okay? My kids, so most of them are pretty well grown up, but as they were growing up, okay, if they'll listen to me, if they would listen to me, it would affect the way things go for them. They would handle their sexuality different if they listened to me. They would. They would handle their friendships different. They handle their marriage different. They handle their finances different. And their nutrition, their education, all these things our kids will do differently if they genuinely listen to us instead of watch Nickelodeon all day. I mean, it doesn't take a behavioral genius to see these things. Why God is saying it's going to go better for you if you listen. If they'll listen to us instead of just their peers' suggestions of life, that it's your life will actually go along better. That's what God is trying to say here. Doesn't take a lot of thinking it through to understand that. So that's some of why we honor. Okay. So who we honor is our mom and dad. Why? Because it's part of God's moral structure and there's a promise with it. Your life is going to go better. Now, let me take on the hardest one and the final one I decided, and that's how. But I'm not going to just say how we honor mom and dad. Let me take on this one a little bit. How do we honor mom and dad? How do we honor them if your mother and father are dishonorable? Now, what do we do? How do you honor a dishonorable mother and father? What can happen is that your hurt can begin to override the honor. The thing is, there's no exemption clauses here. God's got no exemption clause. First thought for many of you is, wait a minute, Pastor, you don't know my mom. All right, you don't know my father. You don't know my dad. Okay? You don't know what they did. You don't know what they failed to do. You don't know what they're still doing. You don't understand, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be hurt. Just stuff it and honor them. You know, I mean, that's not it. I'm not saying that. Listen, it hurts the heart of God, too, when parents have done things that have hurt you. I know some of you, this is your situation. I was heading towards this commandment. People couldn't wait for it. They already called me and asked me about it. You know, how do I honor my mom and dad? You know, this thing and the other thing happened. And it makes for some very interesting conversations, that's for sure. In some cases, you may feel like to honor them is almost like cheering a criminal. It just don't feel right. You know, I mean, let's be real here. Well, how about this? First, I want you to notice something that this commandment does not say, okay? First thing it doesn't say is it does not command affection. Now, that doesn't mean that affection isn't appropriate. But it just doesn't command that you have to have affection for, that you have to confide in. It doesn't even say that you have to trust them. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, secondly, that you have to have admiration for them. It doesn't command admiration. It doesn't command that you think they're the greatest thing. It doesn't command that. It does not command obedience. It does not command that you always have to do everything they wish. But it always commands honor. The reason it commands honor and not these other things is because the relationship between a child and a parent is very complex and it's always changing. You know, let's face it, when you first are born into the world, you have no choice. You're completely dependent upon your parents. You are not going to live if your parents don't come through because you can't do much of anything. You're completely dependent upon them. And then if you age another year or two, then you have to learn how to start obeying them. But it doesn't always stay that way. There's different stages. As a matter of fact, then the Bible goes on. It says there's a point in your life when you are to leave your mother and father and cleave to your husband or your wife. So it doesn't always stay the same. Listen, when I was 10 years old, my mom came into my room, brought a can of paint, put it down and said, "All right, we're painting your room today, and this is the color we're painting it." And I'd obey her. Now, if my mom comes in my room this afternoon with a can of paint and says, here's a can of paint, and this is the color we're painting your room, it's not really happening, you know? I mean, that ship has sailed, you know? As a matter of fact, if I did obey her, that's kind of weird. You know, it's almost like pathological. You know, listen, there's a point where dependence is good as a child and understanding that, but there is a point where dependence is no longer supposed to be there, and if you're still totally dependent on your parents at 30 years old, that's not good dependence. That might be more like codependence, you know? So it doesn't always stay the same. It's got to change, but we have to understand what's healthy and what's not healthy anymore. It can become an inordinate thing if it doesn't change properly. But even though dependence is not forever, and in certain respects, levels of obedience are not forever, the Bible shows us here that honor always is. So it's really beginning to understand what it means to honor, to respect, nothing more, but nothing less. And listen, it isn't like I can just give a pat and answer. This is something God calls us to honor, but it doesn't necessarily always mean all these other things. So you're going to have to prayerfully separate these things out so that you can properly and responsibly obey this command. You know, the word for honor in the Bible means weight. In other words, you know what? Their position is weighty. It's a serious position that they've been given. They're the ones, for whatever reason, and sometimes you don't know the reason, but God had chosen to bring you into the world. It's a weighty position. It's not to be taken lightly or make, insignificant. And it doesn't necessarily, again, mean that you have to think that they're marvelous, but you can't cast them aside as insignificant. You've got to treat them, you can't just treat them flippantly. You've got to take the fact that they're your parents seriously. And one of the ways that might help some of you, depending as adult children, I'm not talking about kids that are still in the home, but more so perhaps even adult children, although it could be depending on the situation back at home, is understanding the concept that the military has, where they say that you salute the uniform. You ever hear that? You know, like you don't necessarily respect the person in the uniform, but you know what? Stripe says they're a lieutenant there, so there's a certain level of honor and respect you have for that position. And so a mother and father's office is significant. It bears weight, the Bible says, and for reasons beyond understanding, sometimes we are given people in that office, again, that only God really knows why. We may not, but we honor that office they have. We just honor it. I know this one fella, Drew, gave a testimony that was just mind-blowing to me. He's a friend of Frank Leonetti's. Some of you probably heard it. And he grew up in a situation that, to me, is just not even in the stratosphere of being able to relate to. Both his parents were alcoholics. He described one incident where he woke up and he saw them like a 7-year-old boy just covered in blood in the bed. They would have these violent, drunken fights at night. And it got to the point where he was at school, I think he was only about 8 years old, and they saw some abrasions on his body and they asked him, you know, some questions, and he just had a nervous breakdown, and the Child Protective Services ended up having to take him away, and he was raised by foster care system, eventually was actually adopted by some Christian parents, and he's this amazing, strong Christian guy now. But you know what? He doesn't necessarily think his parents are marvelous, but he does stop in once in a while when he's in the area, and he says hello to his parents. He gives them the honor of stopping in. In fact, he may be the only vessel possibility that God uses as a conduit that still comes to see them and they might just come to know Jesus Christ because he took this fifth commandment seriously. One of the ways that we can just get through this, like I said, it's going to take personal prayer and reflection for some of you how you're going to carry this out to properly and responsibly obey this command. But we can't just toss it out as we can't our parents. It's a weighty position. Two last things I'm going to say. First, just give grace to your parents. I mean, for some of us, we have to be careful that sometimes we could just be too idealistic. I mean, I remember years ago when I used to do the youth group. And these kids, man, I just kind of felt like their expectations for their parents just, they weren't reasonable. I mean, it was like even if Jesus was their father, they'd find something wrong. You know, I don't like his beard or his sandals are weird or something. You know, it's like they'd always find something wrong, you know? And sometimes we just have these created expectations for parents that are, they're just unreasonable. And the Bible says, you know what, it's a glory to overlook an offense. And some may need to just be honest and say, you know what, I think I'm expecting more from my parents than I'd even expect from myself. You know, just being honest about it. And sometimes you have to just give grace and recognize the fact that, listen, we're all fallen sinners and it's not always going to be awesome. It's just not. The last one and the big one is just to give forgiveness. And we talked about this at the retreat last week, big time, in general. But specifically here, I just want to think about it, how forgiveness of your parents can free you up to be able to honor them. I read about a pastor who, after a VBS thing, went around to this one house of a couple kids that came. We've had this before. They just had a good time at VBS, but you know, their parents don't really go to church, so the kids aren't going to come to church. And so he went there and he said, listen, we have people that'd be willing to pick up your kids if you want, and we could, you know, bring them to church for you. And the father just said, you know what, I'm never going to have my children go do that, because you know what, in my life, my dad made me go to church every Sunday and he made me go to Sunday school and I hated it, and I'm not going to do that to my kids. And the guy was talking about it and he said, you know what, I felt bad for that poor guy because his bitterness against his father was still controlling him. That nasty old man was still controlling him because he was still bitter at his dad, what he did. And now, even though his dad was no longer even alive, his bitterness towards his dad was controlling how he was treating his own kids today. And the only way he was going to get rid of that bitterness and be able to change his attitude towards his own children was that he had to let that resentment go and forgive his parents. You know, forgiving somebody doesn't necessarily mean they have to still be alive. They can still hold you in bondage. And you can still honor your parents even though they're not here. But sometimes we just have all this resentment, and we've got to learn to let forgiveness come in and let it go so you can be freed up to honor them. Ultimately, you know what you have to remember? The Bible tells us that as a Christian, we have to have God as our Father. That's a big deal, man. I mean, if it wasn't a big deal, how come out of all the ways Jesus could have said, here's how you start off your prayer, he said, start off this way, our Father. It's not just a religious thing where, you know, maybe you have sort of a general belief about God and maybe it even improves your moral character a little bit, but it's got to go beyond that. Paul said, listen, you got to get to this point where you cry out to him as Abba Father. In other words, like your daddy, your papa. There's got to be this intimacy, this connection with him. And I think that God is getting, he's put that in us, because I think every single one of us, if we're really honest, there's something in us that has this incredible, desperate need for unconditional parental love and approval. We do. And that's why often we get so frustrated maybe with our own parental experience, because we've got this thing in us that really has this desperate need for unconditional love and approval on a parental level, but guess what? You're never going to get it from your earthly parents because they weren't designed to fully fulfill that. I think God put it in there so it simply arouses our desire for the true parental unconditional love and approval that can only be received through God our Father. It's arousing this hunger, man, and it's frustrating, and it's never going to... I don't care how good your parents you had. I had great parents. But guess what? They can't always be there for you. My dad hasn't been on this earth for 11 years now. Man, if you want unconditional love and approval, we need to understand our heavenly parent. God, our Father, the real verdict is in. That's it, man. That's the final verdict is in, that the heavenly Father, understanding that He loves us unconditionally, and check this out, He totally approves of you. Now, some of you might, wait a minute, I don't know about that one. You know why? Because anything that I've done that's worthy of disapproval, and anything that you've done that is deserving of disapproval, God already took care of that on the cross. He says it's finished. And if you can receive this truth, then just receive this last truth I'm going to give you right now. You've probably heard it before, but hear it again. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, that's Jesus Christ, to them gave He power to become the children of God. His kid. You know what? We really understand our heavenly Father. It's going to free us up to honor our earthly parents. It's the only way. It's not always easy. It has to be done carefully and prayerfully in some circumstances. Some of us, like myself, it's easy. I had great parents. But ultimately, we all have the greatest parent, our Heavenly Father. Let's pray.